Greetings and welcome to Sojourn of Souls. Here at Sojourn of Souls, we want to extend a heartfelt welcome to everyone worldwide. We are delighted to count all of you as part of our company as we trek together in this world so we can live eternally with God in the next. Just a reminder, if you find that traveling with us is useful, we encourage you to follow us and share our podcast, Sojourn of Souls, with your friends and family. You are our only sales force, so don't be shy about spreading the word. Just a reminder that St. John of the Cross once said, "The Lord measures out perfection neither by multitudes or by magnitude of our deeds, but by the manner in which we perform them." In this podcast, we're going to cover Holy Week, which includes both the final days of Lent and the 3 days of the Easter Triduum, which actually starts tomorrow, so that the end of the heartfelt celebration of the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ. Before we consider the amazing period of the Holy Triduum, please join with me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Week, this most solemn and glorious week in Christianity, the pinnacle of the liturgical year, it is more sacred than Christmas. This is because Holy Week commemorates the final week of the Lord's life, the very purpose for which Christmas happened. Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday, when Jesus made his final entrance into Jerusalem, and culminates with Easter Sunday. As Holy Week progresses to its final days, the solemnity heightens. So let us begin briefly by reflecting on how Palm Sunday has been commemorated beginning in the 4th century in Jerusalem. At that time, Palm Sunday was marked by a procession of the faithful carrying palm branches representing the Jews who celebrated Christ's entrance into Jerusalem. In the early centuries, the procession began on the Mount of the Ascension, proceeded into the Church of the Holy Cross. As the practice spread throughout the Christian world by the 9th century, the procession would begin in each church with the blessing of palms, proceed outside the church, and then return to the church for the readings of the Passion according to the Gospel of Matthew. The faithful would continue to hold their palms during the reading of the Passion. In this way, they would recall that many of the same people who greeted Christ with shouts of joy on Palm Sunday would call for his death on Good Friday, a powerful reminder of our weakness and the sinfulness that causes us to reject Christ. Although not considered part of the Triduum, the Wednesday of Holy Week deserves mention here, since it starts in motion the events that will lead to Christ's arrest and execution. It was probably not observed until around the 3rd century, and began to be called Spy Wednesday in the medieval period. The events of Spy Wednesday are preceded by a dinner that Jesus and at least some of his disciples shared with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha at Bethany. Toward the end of the meal, according to John 12:3, it says, "Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with their hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. If you remember, Jesus took issue with this act, arguing that the perfume could have been sold for the money given to the poor. Jesus responds as we continue in John, "Leave her alone. She bought it that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." Soon after this exchange, Judas goes to the chief priests and offers to spy on Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Of course, to a greater or lesser extent, all of the disciples betrayed Jesus in some way. But Judas's betrayal was especially cruel. He was directly part of the plot to have Jesus arrested, therefore making Jesus' death possible. Nowadays, we don't take note of Spy Wednesday officially, but we can contemplate it as individuals. Spy Wednesday provides an opportunity to consider the personal pain in Easter, the reality that Jesus suffered emotional and physical blows on his road to the resurrection. Now, let us turn to the sacred Triduum itself, from sundown on Holy Thursday to sundown on Easter Sunday. It's considered the most solemn part of the liturgical year. These 3 days, referred as Easter Triduum, also known as the Sacred Triduum or the Paschal Triduum. The word Triduum itself comes from the Latin word triduum, which means trius or three, and dies or day. The Sacred Triduum is one great festival recounting the last 3 days of Jesus' life on earth. The events of his passion and resurrection, when the Lamb of God laid down his life in atonement for our sins. Through chronology, 3 days, they are liturgically 1 day unfolding for us in the unity of Christ's Paschal mystery, as dated in the USCCB. It is known as a Paschal mystery because it is the ultimate fulfillment of the ancient Jewish Passover, or Pasch, which itself was a recollection of how Jesus brought the Jews out of their slavery in Egypt. The spotless lamb was slaughtered at the Passover meal and consumed the same night the destroying angel passed over the homes marked with the blood of the Passover lamb, and those covered by the blood were saved. This was the Old Testament prefigurement of Jesus' work at the Last Supper, where he inserted himself as the Paschal lamb and Calvary, where the sacrifice was offered to save us from our slavery to sin. With the Holy Eucharist, we consume the victim who died for our sins. The Paschal mystery is, therefore, God's plan of redemption for the fallen human race through the passion, death, and resurrection of the God-man, Jesus Christ. It is one marvelous event stretched out over 3 days. Here's a breakdown of each of the 3 days that make up the Easter Triduum, beginning with Holy Thursday. The evening Mass on Holy Thursday is referred to as the Mass of the Lord's Supper. This is where the Church relives the institution of the Eucharist and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at the Last Supper, as well as the institution of the priesthood, which took place the evening before Christ was crucified. After the homily, there's an optional washing of the feet ceremony, where the priest washes the feet of others to signify Israel as servant, just as Jesus did with his disciples. Extra hosts are consecrated at this Mass to be used on Good Friday, when no Mass is celebrated. The washing of the feet and the sacrament of the Eucharist are two expressions of one and the same mystery of love entrusted to the disciples, so that Jesus says in John 3:15, "As I have done, so also must you do." The altar is stripped of its ornamentation, leaving only the cross and candlesticks. The Holy Mass then concludes with the procession of the Blessed Sacrament to the altar of repose, a place where the consecrated host is kept, away from the main altar where Mass is normally celebrated. Over 5 years ago, when my wife Penny was still alive, she used to tell me that this part of the service she used to cry because Jesus was leaving the nave of the church, and it felt so empty. And it was for that reason she rarely ever attended the Good Friday services. She just could not enter the church unless Jesus was there. Many parishes create space for people to stay and pray with the repose Eucharist at this repose altar late into the night, remembering Jesus' request in the Garden of Gethsemane for someone to watch and pray with him. And so often, Penny and I would stay and pray with him in our side chapel until it was time to close the church. Now, of course, Good Friday follows Holy Thursday. And Good Friday is a mandatory day of fasting and abstinence. This is the day of the crucifixion, the day that Jesus died for the sins of the world. The Reverend Fulton J. Sheen once said, "Unless there is a Good Friday in your life, there can be no Easter Sunday." The Church observes Good Friday in specific ways. First, the entrance takes place in silence. The church is in mourning. The presider bows to the altar and kneels or prostrates in silence, while the whole community kneels and joins this period of silent prayer. The silence as entrance and recessional are deliberate to emphasize the reflective starkness of this day's liturgy. The parish altar looks very different on Good Friday. It is plain and bare. There are no consecrated hosts in the tabernacle at the main altar. It was carried away on Holy Thursday night to the altar of repose to signify Jesus' death. The candle by the tabernacle is blown out. The tabernacle doors are left open to show it is empty. Jesus is gone. This is quite dramatic, reminding us that Good Friday is a solemn day of mourning and of prayer. The ceremony on Good Friday is not a Mass. It is a communion service using consecrated host from Holy Thursday. It seems strange that in the Good Friday liturgy, Catholics choose to venerate or to show reverence to the very instrument that is used to crucify Jesus. The veneration of the cross reminds us that through this cross, the glory of the resurrection emerges. So on Good Friday, we come forward to show our great reverence and respect to the cross. Saint Rose of Lima once said, Apart from the cross, there is no other ladder by which we may go to heaven. Next, let us discuss Holy Saturday, which I will break up into two parts. First is Holy Saturday before the Vigil Mass. On this day, Christ is in the tomb. There is no daytime Mass on Holy Saturday. It's still a day of fasting and sorrow before the Easter Vigil begins that evening. We recall with Mary and the disciples that Jesus died and was separated from them for the first time as he lay in the tomb. The faithful often continue their Good Friday fast through Holy Saturday. In the Apostles' Creed, we pray he descended into hell, translated Hades, that is, the temporary abode of the dead, not the eternal lake of fire, which describes what Jesus did in the time between his burial and resurrection. Jesus descended into the realm of the dead on Holy Saturday to save the righteous souls. The whole Testament patriarchs, for example, who died before his crucifixion. The Catechism of the Catholic Church calls Jesus' descent into the realm of the dead the last phase of Jesus' Masonic mission, during which he opened heaven's gates for the just who had gone before him. Before Holy Saturday, no souls were enjoying the beatific vision of God in heaven. Jesus' work on Holy Saturday is also known as the harrowing of hell. Now let us turn to the Vigil of Mass, my favorite Mass of the year. The Easter Vigil is the most glorious, beautiful, and dramatic liturgy for the Church. The Vigil Mass is in four parts and can last up to 3 hours, if not longer. First part, the service of light. Two, the liturgy of the word. Three, the liturgy of the baptism. And lastly, the liturgy of the Eucharist. So let us begin with the service of light. The vigil begins in darkness. Begins after the darkness has fallen. Outside the church, a new fire is blessed. The paschal candle is lit. Then the candles of the people are lit from it, dispelling the darkness of the church building. The message does not need words to explain it. The darkened church, the procession, the paschal candle, the fire, and the exaltant are all symbols that remind us that Christ's resurrection defeated the darkness of evil. This ceremony reminds us of the power of Christ cannot be defeated, nor those who have his power. The liturgy of the word follows. This is one of the unique aspects of the Easter Vigil, the recounting of the outstanding deeds of the history of salvation. These deeds are related in the seven readings from the Old Testament, are chosen from the Law and the Prophets, and the two readings of the New Testament, namely from the Apostles and the Gospels. Psalms, prayers, blessings, acclamations, and hymns are sung in their full splendor. It is a glorious time for these readings, from Genesis all the way up to the New Testament. Next is the liturgy of baptism. This is also the Mass by which many RCIA catechumens are brought into full communion in the Catholic Church. The Church celebrates these three sacraments: baptism, confirmation, and the Holy Eucharist, by which we become active members of the Church of God. The confirmation renews their baptismal vows. And I love doing these every year, renewing my baptismal vows, a topic which we'll talk about more in a later podcast. Finally, there's the Liturgy of the Eucharist. This is the first glorious Mass of Easter and the beginning of the Easter season. And we enter a time of the endless Alleluias which will ring throughout the liturgical celebrations. You may experience the joy of new life in your own way this Easter season, and have then a happy and blessed Easter. As Pope John Paul II stated, the future starts today, not tomorrow. So please join me in a Hail Mary to continue to live this joy of Easter throughout this year, 2024. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember Jesus' words, wide is the road to destruction. And so we remind you to stay on the path, and we ask that St. Raphael, the Archangel of Travelers, Godspeed you on your sojourn.